through 5. There are two statements made in these verses that a lot of times we view and say, okay, how do you do that? And is this some kind of conflict, or is Paul talking out of both sides of his mouth? And the two things that he says are, bear one another's burdens. And then he says, each one will bear his own load, or each one will bear his own burden. And he says, both of those things. Is that a contradiction? Absolutely not. It's the way it is. It's the way we are intended to be, and it's the way things are as we go through the book of Galatians. I came to this study thinking about these two points from our seminar last week, and I was going to make two points that I wanted us to look at. One in particular, which will be the last one we'll look at, but I got to reading Galatians, and when you start reading the book, then all kinds of questions come up. It is great to always start reading a book by, first of all, reading how it ends. And you raise a question in your mind, okay, Paul, are you doing this in this letter? Are you showing us how to do this in this letter? Are you describing for us the way not only this congregation should be at Galatia, the way we should be as a congregation, but are you also demonstrating for us how this is done as you write this letter to the church at Galatia? The church at Galatia is a church having problems. Church at Galatia is a congregation on the verge of splitting. The church at Galatia is a congregation that's being torn apart because they've had some individuals to come in who are teaching things differently. And if you read through the letter, you see the Apostle Paul's frustration, but you also see his kindness and you see his patience. And you also see his straightforwardness. He's trying to bring people back to Jesus and back to truth. He's not necessarily trying to win friends, but he does it in exactly the way that he demonstrates it needs to be done. And in this book, he is doing exactly this, bearing the burdens of the church at Galatia, and at the same time, bearing his own burdens. And he has a number of them. But he's doing both things in this book. So I wanted to kind of take us on a little journey looking at about two or three points that I wanted us to take a look at as we go through the book of Galatians and we eventually wind up reading and looking more closely at chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. The first question is this a safe place? Lou talked about that. We need to be a church that's a safe place. We need to be leadership that's a safe place. We need to be individuals that are a safe place. And in talking about us being a safe place, the first question is, am I a safe place? Are each of us as individuals a safe place? This church in Galatia was not a safe place. Not entirely. Because they had problems there. And there were some things that were going on that made it different than it ought to be. And really, that's what this study is about in the book of Galatians as Paul comes down to these last two questions. They are about how should we be? How ought we to be? And we are going to be looking at the very image of Jesus Christ. As we look at this safe place, there is no place safer than Jesus. There is no place safer than to be with him and in him. But there's no place more challenging than to be with Jesus. There's no place more correcting than to be with Jesus. There's no place with more safety than to be with Jesus. So let's take a look at this church in Galatia. It's not a safe place. It's not a safe place because they're being turned away from the truth. And the Apostle Paul challenges that. And it's almost, well, it would be interesting for us to explore the personalities that would have been involved at Galatia. Because all of us have seen personalities who would sway individuals by their personality, but would not be holding to what God says. And who would persuade individuals by all kinds of means with those personalities, but paying no attention to truth. And Paul is amazed that the church at Galatia, the place that he was at because he was sick and because he had an illness, and they took care of him. And he is amazed because he taught them and he knows what they know. And yet they have moved so quickly away from it. Why? How? And it almost makes you wonder about the personalities that were there. And they have swept this people off of their feet. And they are moving them away from the truth. Maybe out of friendship. Maybe out of fear. Maybe it was domineering personalities. Or maybe it was personalities that just overwhelmed with their friendliness and the joy of being around them. We don't know. But it doesn't really matter. It's not a safe place because you're being turned away from the truth. And Paul will say, even if an angel from heaven, and when it comes down to even an angel from heaven, and it doesn't matter how good the person may seem on the surface, even an angel from heaven, if he tells you something different than what you have been taught by us, the apostles, let him be anathema. This is not a safe place. They hinder you from obeying the truth. They hinder you from coming to the freedom that is in Christ. They hinder you from obeying the truth. And he's going to get into a little bit of why they're doing that and how they're doing it. But what they're doing is turning them away from Christ and what Christ has spoken. They are making demands of them Christ never made. They are telling them that to be pleasing to God, they must do things that Christ never said they had to do. And they are making laws God, through Christ, never made. And therefore, they are hindering them from obeying the truth. They're even fighting against them for holding on to the truth of Christ, for holding on to the truth as it was delivered by Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 15 is an interesting statement. Where's the love and the good will that you had? They're now even questioning Paul's apostleship. They're now even questioning whether or not he had the right to tell them anything. And so he spends the first part of the book defending that apostleship, and he has a question for them. Where's the love you used to have? Where's the goodwill that you used to have? And as you read through the book, you can almost say, where does all this anger come from? Where does all this hatred come from? Where does all this idea of absolutely rejecting people simply because of something somebody else said, where's it coming from? This is not a safe place. Then he adds this one to it. They shut you out so you will seek them. They tell you you're not right with God. What they really mean is you're not right with me. They tell you that you will not be accepted by God. What they really mean is we don't like what you're saying. We don't like what you're doing. We don't like what you have not done. And they're shutting you out, not because they want you to seek Christ, and not because they want you to come to the teachings of Christ. They want you to follow them. Wow. That's not a safe place. When I'm concerned about people agreeing with me, I'm not a safe place. When I'm concerned about people being what I want them to be, that's not a safe place. And Galatia was not a safe place. because they were shutting them out because they were seeking them. Look at these two verses, chapter 5. The first one is in verse 15 and the next one's in verse 26. In verse 15, Paul will say this, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." The hatred that's there, the gossip that's going on. Do you think, can you imagine what they would have done if they had Facebook? Can you imagine what they would have done if they had social media? And the things that would have been said and the things that would have been spread. They're biting and devouring one another. They despise each other if they're not in agreement with me. And Paul says, you need to look at yourself and what you're doing. Because if you bite and devour one another, you will be consuming one another. And then in verse 26, he says this, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." They were in each other's faces. They were in each other's faces, running each other down, being jealous and envious of one another, being boastful about how much better they were than others, and bragging about how they never did the things you were doing, running each other down, comparing themselves to one another, challenging one another, not moving toward God. This was not a safe place. And Paul is trying to make it a safe place again. And he goes through the process of exactly how to do that and how to go about it. And it means coming back to Jesus. And we need to be asking ourselves, am I a safe place? And are we a safe place? And what do we do to become a safe place? To be what God would have us to be. If you read through Galatians, you understand that being a safe place doesn't mean you agree with everybody. It means you tell the truth. But you tell the truth with kindness. And you tell the truth with humility. And you tell the truth with love. And you tell the truth trying to get people to move toward Christ. Not toward me, to myself, but toward Christ. We're going to change gears a little bit, but I want us to look at the next aspect as we come into these verses. I want you to look at a summary of these verses, and it's also really a summary of the book of Galatians. And in this summary, we're going to be able to see that this idea of bearing one another's burdens and bearing your own burdens are not two things that are in contradiction with one another. They are exactly what we are supposed to be. They are exactly who Jesus is, which is going to be the heart of what Paul says in Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Because if you fulfill the law of Christ, then you will do this. And they are not fulfilling the law of Christ. That's why they're not a safe place. And in fulfilling the law of Christ, we understand the absolute necessity of working for the body and watching myself. Of working for the corporate, everybody, and at the same time, working for myself. Take a look at these ideas that come not only from the Bible, but specifically from the book of Galatians. The two greatest commandments, what are they? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, individual or corporate? Individual. I am to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. That's the first commandment. And the second one is likened to it. What is that one? Oh, sorry, I got ahead. Let me back up. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. What is that? Corporate. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself is bearing one another's burdens. Loving the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength is bearing my own burdens. And they both go together. They're both hand in hand. Look at Jesus. He did exactly that. Why did he come to the world? To seek and save the lost. Corporate. But that's not all. He expresses answer to that question in another way. And the other way that he answers it is to do the Father's will. Individual. Whether anybody was saved or not, he was coming to do what God wanted. He was coming to offer himself as mankind's Savior. Even if nobody ever believed him. Because it was what the Father wanted. So he did both. Corporate and individual. For all of humanity. And for himself to please God. He did both. It's not an either or. Both are absolutely essential. And both are absolutely involved. And look at how Paul puts them together as we go through these verses in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Restore such a one. Anyone caught in a sin, you restore such a one. Corporate. But watch yourself, lest you also be tempted. Individual. Bear his burdens, bringing him back. But you watch yourself. Individual. Bear other burdens. Bear your own. Those are the two verses. They go hand in hand. They go together. Examine your own work. Bearing his burdens and restoring him means that I've evaluated what he's doing and it's not in keeping with God, and I'm going to do what I can in order to bring him back to God. But I'm also to make sure that what I'm doing is examining myself. Jesus talks a great deal about that in the Sermon on the Mount. How can you help another person remove the little bit of trash that's in their eye if you've got a sequoia tree sticking out of your own eye? Take care of the sequoia tree first, and then you can help them with their little bit of trash. But so many times we don't examine ourselves because we're looking too much at other people. Then we're not a safe place. And Paul is telling the church at Galatia, this is what you need to be doing. The law of Christ. The law of Christ, what is it? Is it all of the New Testament? Well, yeah, it explains it. But the law of Christ can be summed up in the statement Jesus made and that Paul makes when he writes his letter to the church at Philippi, and it's summed up in every letter. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And that new commandment is that from now on you love one another in the same way that I have loved you. When Jesus came, did he bear our burdens? How can you look at the cross and not know that the answer to that question is yes? Do we still have to bear our own burdens? Yes. Because it's up to us to come to faith and trust in what he has done for us. But look what he gave up and what he did in coming to bear our own burdens. And look at the way he did it. Look at the attitude that he has toward filthy sinners. He associates with them. He eats with them. They call him friend because he shows himself friendly. This one who was perfect, this one who did everything the way God wanted it done. And so he says to us, you love like I have loved you. And Paul will write to the Philippians, have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself in order that we can become like him. That's what they're missing. That's why they're not a safe place. That's why they're moving away from the truth that Jesus taught And when they move away from that truth and they move away from Jesus, they move away from more things than just the list of commandments that Jesus might have given. And these people are quickly moving away. And their people who are leading them that way are already away. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Let's read it together and take a look at what the Apostle Paul writes. Brethren, responsibility of everybody. And he's writing to those that are in Christ. Even if anyone, no matter who they are, if anyone is caught, he's tangled up in, he's entrapped by it, he's caught in a trespass, he's heading in the wrong direction, he's gotten off the path. If any is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, you have your mind on the things of heaven, you have your mind set on the things of God. It's not about yourself, it's about God and Him. You who are spiritual, restore. Restore is the word that is used when they mend the fishing nets. So you bring them back to where they ought to be. You bring them back to where they have moved away from. You restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. This is not in running somebody down or destroying someone's reputation. This is not in talking about, it's talking to. And you do it in the spirit of gentleness and kindness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted, maybe by the same thing they are doing, or maybe by being tempted to move away from the love of Christ and the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Help them. Strengthen them. Support them. Pray for them. Love them. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Do everything you can for them. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 3 is an important and significant verse. Do you understand that there are absolutely two essentials to having faith in Christ? Actually, three. Faith in Christ means trusting Christ. But there are absolutely two essentials for any person who's going to have faith in Christ. And without those two essentials, you'll never have faith in Christ like He wants you to have it. Scott and I were talking about this week in regard to a lot of other things. You see it so many times with so many problems and so many issues. And how so often these two essentials are missing. The two essentials are humility and repentance. And without the humility to listen, the humility to look at myself, the humility to consider, am I where God wants me to be? The humility to be honest with myself and with God, there will never be repentance. And repentance means turning and coming back to God. Most never see a need for repentance because they never take a look at themselves in connection with God. And so Paul writes it here, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he is lying to himself. He deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. How do I look at myself and evaluate myself? One of the reasons why these programs are on TV so much now that show all the problems of other people, the judges' shows and these other shows that bring in people who are having all these problems and put them on TV, and the reason why people are so attracted to them seems to be that because, okay, good, I'm not the worst in the world. They look at those TVs and shows and they feel better about themselves. They look at those TV shows and they feel better about their problems because they found somebody worse. And Paul is not really talking about it from that standpoint. What he's saying is, you examine yourself in the light of what God would have you to do. Never examine yourself in the light of, well, am I better than somebody else? Or can I find somebody worse than me? But always examining myself and what I do in the light of what would God want me to do. And if I examine myself in the light of what God would want me to do, and I find myself striving to do that, I have a reason to feel good about the direction that I'm going. But if I'm comparing myself to others, I have no reason to feel good about the direction I'm going. None at all. So we must examine our own work in the light of God and in the light of Jesus. And then we'll have reason for boasting. Do you remember what Paul's boast was? Wherever I am, whatever I'm about, I boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. And when he boasted in the cross of Jesus Christ, it's no wonder he could talk with kindness and humility and patience with everybody else. For each one will bear his own load. We are responsible for what we do. And we are the only ones who will be held accountable for what we do. There is a sense in which I cannot bear certain loads for other people, and they cannot bear certain loads for me. We can help each other. We can encourage one another. We can help one another. We can correct one another. But there's some things we can't do. And I thought when Lou Butterfield was here, he put a screen up one of the sessions, and it may have been the session that was in here for men only, but I think he put it up more than once. I thought he put up a screen that sort of signified what this verse is saying, what these verses here are saying better than anything I'd ever heard before outside of the Bible. And it was this: we can give moral skill. We can help others and show them what they need to do in order to move in the direction God would have you to go. But we cannot give moral will. We can't make anyone do it. We can't make anyone be devoted to Christ. We can't make anyone come to faith in Christ. We can teach, we can encourage, we can help, we can bear burdens. But there are some burdens we have to bear ourselves. But they both go together. And it's freeing to realize I'm not responsible for the salvation of somebody else. But I am responsible for teaching, for helping, and for encouraging. But ultimately, our salvation is up to us as individuals. And when we are all striving to do that, to work to please Christ, and to strive to be like Christ, we become a safe place. We become pleasing to God. We become like Christ. We start fulfilling the law of Christ. Love others just like I've loved you. And that's what he calls us to do. And that's what Paul is reminding this church that is being torn asunder about. We are not being torn asunder, in case you were wondering. At least I'm not aware of the fact if we are. But Galatians chapter 5 is written to a church that was. And Paul gives them what they need in order to come back. And it's putting trust in Christ and walking like Him. And that changes everything. If you put on Christ in baptism, do you need to come home to Him tonight? If you do, we offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.